This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Saturday night.
Fox's Joel Klatt. We'll ask him if he thinks Alabama will have to, in fact, punt Saturday night. Hey, Klatt, what's up, man?
What's going on? I was just going to say, it's like, does it matter when you never punt?
They've punted 18 times all year.
In the woods and if the tree falls in the woods and there's no one there to hear it, that's like the Alabama punters. Are they on the team, really, if we never see them?
You've been able to watch. You've obviously got a game every Saturday, so you have to go back and study the film. Tua Tagovailoa has been tremendous for Alabama. What has most jumped out at you, having played the position, that Tua Tagovailoa is doing well?
I think even this early in his career, it's his command of the offense. You know, normally when we see young players, they're doing it via their talent, the talent around them. But his command of the offense and the confidence with which he makes decisions and uses his eyes, that's what jumps out to me when I'm watching him. Clearly, he's a great talent. I mean, a great talent. His accuracy, his ability to use any type of trajectory and velocity on the football, I think is very unique. But it's his overall command that, I got to tell you, it's what strikes fear into a defense. You know, the great quarterbacks in the NFL, yeah, they're talented. But what strikes fear into the defense is the fact that you feel like they're going to attack you where you're weak at every single turn. And that's what it feels like when I'm watching Tua on film. It's like every single time he you know, drops back, which is not a ton, by the way, but every single time he's back there, I feel like the ball's going in the right spot because of the way he's confidently moving his eyes, moving defenders, and using his feet to throw on time and in rhythm. I tell you, it's beautiful. I'm one of those guys that think great offensive football is beautiful, and Alabama plays beautiful football right now.
Klatt, it's human instinct in college football fans to love chaos. So if you're not an Alabama fan, you want to see LSU not only be in this game, but you want to see them win. But when you really break this down, watching both of these teams, and I know LSU continues to amaze by beating top tens and being in this position in November, do you see any path to victory for LSU?
I don't. I really don't. I think Alabama is so dominant on offense that it's going to take a Herculean effort from that defense for the Tigers. And you asked in your question, you gave me two little things that I do want to touch on. Let me talk about this first game, the game first. This game for me comes down to what I would argue is one of the best metrics that you can possibly rate an individual unit on, which is their plus minus. And I know it's kind of a concocted stat that I use that not many people use. You never really see it posted anywhere. But the plus minus is essentially what you score above what that team gives up. So it's a better way to rate your offensive or defensive performance based on the schedule that you've played. So right now, Alabama's plus minus is number one in the country. That doesn't surprise anybody because they're also the number one scoring offense in the country. But their plus minus is somewhere right around, I believe it's about 25, 26. Okay? And so on average, they're scoring 25 or 26 points more than what their teams that on their schedule have given up on average. Well, let's say you just give them that or even a little less. Let's say it's a little less just because LSU is so good. And it's a defense that has been playing well. Well, that still gives Bama somewhere between, 34 and 38 points? You mean to tell me LSU is going to score 38 points against Alabama? I don't see that in 2 million years. Because as good as Burrow has been at times, his quality has been his ability to avoid turnovers. It hasn't necessarily been in his ability to attack the defense. So even at home, when Alabama gets tested, it's going to be because they're facing an offense that is also supremely gifted. That's why I would argue that the only team that could even be on the field are two teams, Clemson and Oklahoma, because those are the only teams that could stand out there and be like, okay, we'll get into a 42-40 shootout with you or even higher than that. But it's not going to be LSU because they're not built to do that, in particular against a Bama team that is still a top 10 scoring defense in the country. Now, the first part of your question, you talked about everyone wants chaos. I would argue that that's the last thing that they want. Everybody in the country is praying that Alabama wins. Why? because as soon as Alabama loses, it becomes the Alabama Invitational with the committee. We all expect Alabama to make the playoff regardless. So the last thing that anybody outside of the SEC wants is for Alabama to be a non-champ. I mean, that to me, that's the worst-case scenario in college football, because now you've got teams that deserve inclusion that are not going to be able to go because they're going to include Alabama on the eye test. And when you have this metric of four best versus what I would argue would be a better metric, like the four most deserving, then that's going to happen. So I'm firmly in Bama's corner and rooting them on. Roll Tide, baby.
Now, I love having you on the show because you also make us think, you know, globally, nationally in college football. And I didn't think about this until you pointed it out. When the college football playoff rankings came out the other day, you noticed something about every SEC team on the tier of losses down the list. Can you, for those that missed your thought on that, can you share that with our listener?
Well, I think that every human poll is going to have some level of confirmation bias and some level of incompetence. And this, the committee ranking is no different. And there was even a heavy influence of bias. And quite frankly, the SEC part is what it is. It's just kind of the confirmation bias of what has been pounded into our heads by SEC fans for years and years and years. And when you win as many titles as the SEC has since 2006, I get it, right? I mean, this is what you get. 12 years of dominance gets you the benefit of the doubt. And the benefit of the doubt is that the top undefeated team is from the SEC. No one argues with that. The top one-loss team is an SEC team by a couple of spots, even over an undefeated. The top two-loss team is an SEC team, even above a one-loss and an undefeated from a group of five. The top three-loss team is an SEC. Every single time, and it's, by the way, the same in the AP poll. So this is just, I would say, human error with confirmation bias that we don't even know, and it seeps in, and that's what we get. It's kind of been beat into us in college football. And like I said in the answer, and this is what everyone kind of jumped on me when I sent that tweet out, like, oh, you're such an anti-SEC. First of all, it was nothing anti-SEC about it. I said, take from it what you will. I would argue that they deserve the benefit of the doubt. I'm just pointing out that that's happening, and we need to be aware of it. The other thing that I wanted to point out with when it comes to this committee ranking is the clear incompetence. And the clear incompetence is very much in the same vein as the influential bias of Frank Beamer, because Frank Beamer very clearly is ruling this committee, guys. They've got four ACC teams ranked that have no business whatsoever being ranked in the back end of that poll. From 19 to 25, you've got North Carolina State, you've got Syracuse, you've got Boston College and Virginia. Virginia lost at Indiana. Boston College got pretty much drilled by Purdue. Syracuse is not that quality of a football team, and quite frankly, I'm tired of rewarding teams because they play well in a loss, which is all Syracuse has been able to do this year. When you look at what I would argue are much better metrics to rank teams like the FPI and the Sagarin ratings, this is what you'll see. Those four ACC teams at the back end of the rankings are on average, not total, but on average, ranked 16 spots higher by the committee than they are by the computers. Every other conference and every other team in America is rated within what I would call the margin of error, three spots either way, from what the committee says to the computer says to what another computer would say, except for those four in the ACC, which are 16 spots higher. And they're doing that on the back of the Big Ten. The Big Ten is the only conference that had a minus in that ratio, that their teams were on average ranked lower by the committee than they were in the computers. That's the only conference in the country. And that wasn't even including the three teams that are all ranked higher in the computer numbers than every single one of the ACC teams. And those three are Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Purdue. So it's an interesting way, if you just want to bear it out in the data, just open your eyes and look past the top four, look past the top eight, and you see some really interesting and, quite frankly, concerning things that this committee and its iteration are doing.
In 30 seconds or less, better chance of happening, Georgia wins by 14 or Kentucky wins the game outright?
I would say Georgia wins by 14. Kentucky was down 11 with 6 minutes to go, and the officials handed them that game. Kentucky's not very good. They're insanely overrated, and I think Georgia is really good. And I think they bounce back and play really well. Their only loss was a 4-turnover game.
That is true. Klatt, thank you. It's always great talking with you, buddy.
I know. I just talked the whole time.
That's quite all right. That's why we have you on.
That's why we have you on.
You're smarter than us. You know that.
I don't know about that.
All right, brother.
Where college football never ends.
The kick is good. Auburn wins 22-19. The Auburn Tigers are on top of the college football world.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.